Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Members of the International Interfaith Investment Group, attended by representatives of nearly 24 Christian, Jewish and Buddhist faith organizations, have urged the world's major faiths to use their financial clout to promote ethical business. Religious lobby groups say the world's major faiths wield enormous economic power in stocks and shares and therefore have the real potential to transform the global money markets. However, they believe that until now, faith organizations have consistently failed to use their financial clout to the full when it comes to putting pressure on companies to adopt more ethical policies. So how can churches and faith organizations flex their full financial muscle and convince businesses to mend their ways? Father Seamus Finn, who's an oblate of Mary Immaculate and also a board member of the International Interfaith Investment Group, spoke to Susie Hodges about the growing popularity of ethical investing and the opportunities it offers for the Catholic Church and other faith-based organizations.
I think it's made some unbelievable progress in the last 10 years. This is a concept we well know that has been around for a long time, at least here in the United States. Where I think the big change has taken place is probably from the mid-90s to the present, where access to information, communication of information, verification of information about the activities of banks, of corporations, across the board and across national boundaries has become much more accessible, so that the conscious, committed, socially responsible or faith investor really has access to a lot more information. And they're not throwing a dart, as it were, in the dark and trying to come up with the best company or the most positive one or the one that least violates human rights or damages the environment. So it's grown exponentially in the last 10 years. And I think from the financial side, for a community that's very reticent to let any kind of social or environmental criteria enter into their decision-making, I think we've made some ground there as well, in the sense that corporations are now becoming much more sensitive to such things as damage to their reputation, damage to their image, long-term risk, or long-term liability for something that might have taken place 20, 30, 40 years ago, particularly in the area of the environment or human rights. So I think there's a combination of different things that have put in place that have put ethical investing and faith-consistent investing on a much firmer footing in recent years.
But when it comes to figures, what percentage do they form when it comes to the overall picture of investments or businesses?
In terms of invested funds, for instance, in equity markets in the United States, we're talking in the range of about 10 or 11%, given the size and the way the economy has been growing and the equity markets have been growing. That's fairly big. It may be a little less in Europe, but it's growing in both arenas. And I think the more that the message is spread and the more that the investor becomes aware of what and how they can do this and the allies that they may have out there who share their same either values or their beliefs, I think we're only going to see that grow.
Is it true, though, that up until now, faith investors, including the Catholic Church, have failed to use their investment clout to the full, i.e. they focus solely on what not to invest in, as you say, like weapons or pornography, abortion providers, etc.?
Well, I think it's really a three-step process in that regard. I think we would strongly, for instance, for the investor who may just be skeptical or nervous and want to take a first step, we would encourage them to vote their proxy or engage in the opportunities that are presented by the companies that they invest in, whether it's an annual meeting process or a dialogue process or an engagement process. For those who may be, you know, wanting to get to stage two, then they may want to, you know, propose, you know, that they are going to exclude some companies from their portfolio, or they may include a company because they want to try and help the company improve. So they may file stockholder resolutions for consideration by all the shareholders at the annual meeting. I think step three is the one that you refer to, and I think we're beginning to see some very positive developments in those areas, which is to try and move away altogether from the sectors in the industry or the corporations that we don't want to invest in, whether it's nuclear arms or military or a variety of other issues, and to actually put money into what we would call a via positiva. In other words, looking for investment opportunities that we think are going to make a positive contribution to local communities wherever they're operating or to the global community. So an example of some of those would be sustainable transportation in the healthcare area, particularly with aging populations in Europe and the United States. And obviously, on the environmental side, the cleaner energy areas.
You mentioned earlier that companies nowadays are much more image conscious and they don't want to get a bad press. So do you feel that this is evidence that this, shall we say, more active clout that's been wielded by faith-based investors and the shareholder resolutions that they're tabling are beginning to, you know, have an effect?
I think clearly it is, and I think it's a combination of the faith-based investor, the socially responsible investor, which includes quite a number of mutual funds, quite a number of pension funds, public pension funds and private pension funds, and I think for a number of industries, the consumer, the informed consumer, whether it's a person of faith or a person who's simply concerned about being consistent in the choices that they make in their lives and for the future, that has a huge impact. If it's a company that is selling clothing, people do want to know where was the clothing made and how were the workers paid and what was the impact on the environment, on any of the dyes that might have been used in the textile, if it's textile. Same thing we've seen recently, certainly in the last 6 months, the numbers of millions of toys that have been recalled by some of the leading toy makers in the world. We know that fully 85% of toys are manufactured in China today. And the question about kind of the paint has been highlighted recently. So the consumer is asking, you know, are these toys safe for my children? Are they safe for my grandchildren? So I think it's a combination of the investor, faith-based investor, the socially responsible investor, the consumer, that all together with specific companies has pushed them to being much more aware, I think. And more recently, we're beginning to see, for instance, the whole question of the carbon footprint and climate change. So that, you know, we're beginning to ask these products, how far are they traveling and what's the impact on the environment of bringing footwear or apparel or toys from China to the United States or China to Europe, and what's the impact in terms of global warming and climate change that happens because of those kinds of supply chain issues.
So companies are becoming more aware, but can you give me some concrete examples of where companies have actually changed or modified their policies because of lobbying by faith-based investors?
I think a very specific conversation that we had and we engaged in with Nike, for instance, back 10, 12 years ago, some concerns that were exposed about their factories and where their footwear was being made. I think they made a commitment at that time to put on their website the location of all their factories around the world. I think that was a positive step. It doesn't answer all the questions, but I think it provides an increased level of access to information that we think was extremely positive. I think somebody like The Gap, which is a clothing apparel company, made some similar kinds of commitments. I think we've had some very good conversations with a company like Walmart, for instance, about the packaging of their materials, asking them to be much more attentive to the amount of packaging that they use on items that are sold in their stores, and then the content. What is the packaging, and how is any kinds of plastics and things of that sort, how are they being disposed of? And they've been responsive. We would like them still to do other things, and we're working on them. We're making those suggestions to them on a regular basis. But we've been pleased with some of the changes that we've seen so far.
And when it comes to the Catholic Church, what additional specific action would you like to see the Church taking to promote faith-based or ethical investment services and policies?
I would really like to see a much more pronounced and explicit commitment by the faith the institutions in the church to faith-consistent investing. It has been heavily at the moment into what I would describe as a via negativa. In other words, just simply looking at areas or sectors to avoid and worked pretty much within that framework. I think the church is, as a global institution, even though it's broken down into obviously many different dioceses and archdioceses and institutions, educational institutions and hospitals and the like, I think it can play a very positive role here if it sees its mission as also being inclusive of its institutions. My experience in the last 10 years is that most major corporations and most businessmen who understand the direction of their businesses welcome our input. We're not telling them how to run the company, but we are making some suggestions about specific areas around human rights or the environment or the local communities. I think the movement by the Vatican to go carbon neutral, I think, is a real positive step. In my reading of it, that received a lot of very positive feedback from different corners of the world. That was a very good demonstration of somebody having, I think, a real sensitivity and a real looking at a way, well, here's a way that we could be part of something that so many people around the world are concerned about.
You've been listening to Father Seamus Finn, an Oblate of Mary Immaculate and a board member of the International Interfaith Investment Group, speaking to Susie Hodges. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.